Word about Peggy. She did have to go to the doctor on Monday. Even I had to go to the doctor with her because we were having a six-month checkup. And everything turned out pretty good, but boy, did it wear her out. And so the last 2 days, she hasn't been all that great. And I trust that Sister Shelley won't have too much trouble with her tonight. And some of you that come over and see her, you know how when you always come over there and you walk in and she sees you for the first time, she always tells everybody how beautiful they are. I mean, you're just beautiful. So tonight I went in and put on my tie, got my little jacket on, and came out, and she said, Mickey, no, she didn't say Mickey, she said, Daddy, you are beautiful. And I looked at her and I said, Baby, you only said that because it's true. Amen. But anyway, you pray for her and ask God to bless her and give her strength. She is going down some here lately, and it disturbs me a whole lot. Well, I'm glad to be here, but I was a little bit concerned about coming tonight because I didn't really have any jokes to tell you. And so I've been letting it be known to some of the people around. And Jane, who gets her mail up in Gatesville, she sent me one in the mail. And I'm going to give it to you in just a moment, but I need to give you a warning. A woman just can't tell a joke like a man. And there is a reason for that, is because most men are a joke. Amen? But anyway, here's Jane's joke that she sent me in the mail. What does the Statue of Liberty stand for? And the answer is, it can't sit down. You know, women just don't have the swagger for telling jokes. You know, they just don't have it. I'm going to give you an illustration of that here. Before Brother Gary Dice ran off with the preacher, I asked him about giving me a joke or two to give tonight, and so he shared a couple with me. And I really believe that Pastor Knight would like this first one. I really do. Because it's like this. Why do dragons love knights? Because they are crunchy and they're good with ketchup. Amen. I like that one myself. What are the last two words of the Star Spangled Banner? Yes, it's play ball. And if you watch the season opens, you see that. I want to ask you another question. What kind of monkey lives at the North Pole? And if you guessed coal ones, you're right. Amen. I know what most of you know. You probably know this joke right here, but I'll ask it anyway. If what is the best brain food? And if you said noodle soup, you know your brain food. Amen? That's for sure. Now, before this laughter gets out of control, I want to just give you one more, and this is it. What did one potato chip say to the other chip? Let's go for a dip. Amen, amen, amen. So when Brother Gary gets back, you might want to thank him for those good jokes there. I just sorry I couldn't come up with any for the service tonight. Now, I'm going to like to begin with a couple of verses of Scripture with you. And so I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, we're going to read verse 14 and verse 16, but why don't we just go ahead and read verse 15 also. So look there in your Bible. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I tell you what, those verses mean a lot to me, and I'm sure they mean something to all of you also. And years ago, up in Fort Worth, Texas, and I had only been saved just a short time, but I was like most Baptists. I thought I knew everything about the Bible and only been saved a few weeks. And this man came over to my house one night, and I asked him, I said, do you know when you die that you'd go to heaven? And he looked at me and said, well, you know, I don't believe anybody can know that before they come to the end. And I looked at him and I said, well, I do. I know I'm saved. And you ought to know that you're saved also. And he said, well, I don't believe. I believe like you. And I looked at him and I said this. I said, what if you come to the end and you find out you're not saved? That's going to be pretty bad. Now, this man, if you can't guess it, he was a Jehovah Witness. As one preacher I know calls them Jehovah False Witnesses. But that's what he was. He left my house that night as mad as the devil because I would not turn him loose. Man, I preached the blood to him. I'd asked him if he had been to that fountain filled with blood. I talked about being saved, born again, right with God, and it just upset him. And this is the honest truth. I lived on a gravel street, my first house that Peggy and I'd ever owned or bought, and he threw gravel halfway down that street when he left in front of my house because he was so upset because he was an elder in that movement, and he just knew he was going to come over there and he's going to change this little Baptist guy into one of them, and it didn't work out. Now, I believe there's reasons why many people don't know they're saved. You might even be here tonight and you don't know you're saved, but you come to church, you probably got a Bible with you, and so on. But I know the reason why many folks are not saved, and I know why others that are saved don't have assurance in their heart that they've been born again. I believe the main reason is because of the lack of preachers reminding people that salvation is only in Jesus Christ. That's the only place you can find salvation. I find many people are one to a church. Oh, I'm going to heaven because I'm a member of this church or that church. I find that other people think that they're saved because they've been one to a preacher. Oh, our preacher has such a great personality. He's such a wonderful guy. He's so handsome, and he just the word just come out of him. You got to be careful about that. Remember, the devil can dress up a wolf and make you think he's all right. Now, I find that a lot of people are one to a religion or a cult. And they think they're going to heaven because they're Baptists or Methodists or Presbyterian or Lutherans or so on. Well, let me tell you, you're not going to go to heaven because of a church. You're not going to go to heaven because of a preacher. You're not going to go to heaven because of religion or a cult. Remember what Jesus said in the book of John. Listen very carefully to these words. I know you know them by heart. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When I was a young preacher, and I know what you're thinking, how can he remember back that far? Well, I want to say the older I get, the better I get. I'm sort of like wine. You know, they say that wine gets better with age. But preacher, how do you know that's true? How do you know? I know it because John Taylor told me so. Amen. Amen. Now, I was going to add Brother Matthew to that, but Matthew's not here tonight, so I couldn't say that. But anyway, I tell you what, I really know tonight that I'm not as bright as I used to be. I'm not as handsome as I used to be. I'm not as quick as I used to be. Age is beginning to catch up with me. But I'll tell you one thing, I know I am saved. I hope you know it. I hope you know it. Now, a verse that we need to know is John chapter 3, verse 36. Listen, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So if you are a believer in Christ Jesus tonight, the Word of God says it very plainly that you have eternal life. Boy, that's good. And then it says, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But here's a statement. Now listen to it. But the wrath of God abideth on him. I think I've said this before, but the word abideth, it has the meaning of remaining, to remain. Understand, we come into this world a sinner. You weren't born a saint when you came into this world. You become a saint after you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 5 says? It's very plain. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So the wrath of God is on you at birth. And if you do not become a believer in Jesus Christ, God's wrath remaineth on you. So I hope you can hear that and understand it. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 is a great verse. Paul is the writer. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now the blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest sin stain remover that you can find. They don't have anything down at Walgreens that's better. They don't have anything up here at the hardware company. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will remove sin from your life. And my friends, I've been to that fountain filled with blood. Remember, the blood of Jesus will wash you white as snow. And let me say, hallelujah, that's wonderful. Someone says, to know you are saved, and this is something I had to fight all my life because this is an old saying, to know you are saved and have everlasting life will cause us to relax our conviction and not live out our faith. Now that saying has been around a long time, but I want to tell you something tonight. I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word of it. I believe to know one is saved will cause one to have a greater desire to be faithful to their God. I know who my daddy is, Monroe Robinson. Do you think I want to dishonor my dad? No, I don't want to dishonor my dad. I love my dad. I wouldn't be here without him. And so I love my dad. And I'm going to tell you something. If I can love my dad, I want to tell you I love my Heavenly Father that much more. And that's why I want to live out my salvation. I want to live in a way that brings glory to God and honor to God. And if you don't want that, then something definitely is wrong with your salvation. You may have noticed I'm not giving you a title for this sermon tonight, but here it is. I've been promising you this sermon for several months now, and the title of it is Exposed by Two Birds. Exposed by Two Birds. So take your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. If you will. When you get to Genesis chapter 8, come down to verse 6 and say, amen. Amen. All right. Some of you, I hope you found it. It's the first book in the Bible. Now here it is, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro upon the water, until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for his sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him in the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the water were abate from the earth. And verse 12, and he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Now, let me pray real quick. Father, we need you tonight. We need you to speak through your word. Father, this church needs a blessing. These people need something that will sustain them and help them. And God, I pray that you'll speak through me tonight. I asked it in the wonderful and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Give God a good amen, would you? All right. Now, we've just read here some scriptures in Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. Now remember, it was God who told Noah to build the ark. Can you imagine God coming to you and telling you to build an ark when it had never been any rain on the earth? Well, that's what happened. To build an ark, then God invited Noah and all his house into the ark. This because Genesis 6 verse 8 says, and this is a famous verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now notice what it says in verse 9 there of Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 of chapter 6. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now, you've heard preachers say this. This is the first time that we see the word grace mentioned in Scripture. Now, the root meaning of that word grace is to bend or to stoop. To bend or to stoop. What it's implying is it is the giving of unmerited favor from someone that is superior unto someone that's inferior. In other words, God is giving you something that you don't deserve. And so by grace, he invited Noah to come into the ark where he and his family could be saved. Now, we notice here that Noah was a just man. The word just basically means conforming to an ethical and moral standard. In religion today, we don't have that. We don't have it. But my friends, the Bible tells us if you're going to be a just man, then you're going to have to conform to an ethical and a moral standard. You may remember the word just was used about Daniel, and it was also used about Job also. Now, the word perfect in the Bible, and we've all mentioned this, it means completeness. Or we could put it another way like this, that which is entirely in accord with truth and fact. That's what perfect means, that you are living your life according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. We also see there that Noah walked with God. What does that mean? It means he has fellowship with God. That's what it will mean when you walk with God. You'll be having daily fellowship with Him, and that's very important. Now, we want to look at these two birds because they will help us understand something a little bit later on. Now, we notice here that Noah was in the ark, and the ark speaks of two things. It first of all speaks about redemption. Now, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is our ark, or our redemption. The second word that it means is deliverance. Now, which speaks of rescue or rest. You see, when you and I were lost, we were out there and we were fighting and we were fussing and living in sin, and then God began to deal with us, and then God came and delivered us and brought us into a place of rest. So to know if the water had gone down, Noah had to have a plan. He had to know what to do. Because just imagine, if Noah would have opened up the door in the side of the ark before the water had gone down, remember that old saying, The boat in the water is okay, but not the water in the boat. And if he'd opened that door too early, then that boat would have been flooded. And so Noah had this plan. He was going to send these two birds out, and by what they do, he will know what to do himself. And that's very important. Now, I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 9 again, but the dove found no rest for the soles of her feet, and she returned unto him, Noah, into the ark. Now, remember, it was not the dove that was sent out first. The raven was sent out first. Then later, Noah sent the dove out to check out the situation. Now, remember that old saying, as I told you a moment ago, it's important that we keep the boat on top of the water and not let the water get into the boat. And so, if this does not work, what will Noah do? Well, it's going to work. No, it's going to work good. So Noah needed to know the water was abated off the face of the earth. Now, this is why he sent these two birds out. First the raven, and then the second the dove. Notice, if you will, in the scripture here now, that the two birds, only the dove came back to the ark. I mean, think about it. He sent the raven out first. He sent the dove out, but only the dove returned back to the ark. I want you to notice something else here, if you will, with me in the scripture about these two birds. Notice, and I don't know if the raven was a male dove. I don't know. But I do know that the dove was a female bird. It tells us in the scripture that very plain. Remember, the Bible tells us that she came back, and that lets us know that she was a female. And I think there's a reason for that, because females have good sense, and they're able to determine something. And she came back to tell Noah, the water's still out there. Now, remember, it was the ladies who brought the news of the resurrection first. God did not trust men with that message first. He gave it to the ladies. Now, we men took it over after that, and we went declaring it ourselves. But the ladies were the first one to do that. Now, here's the question, and this is a big question that we have to answer here tonight. What happened to the raven? The dove came back, but what happened to the raven? We know he was sent out first. And we know it was the dove that came back. And I believe the answer is in who the two birds stand for. Now, the raven is a picture of the lost. The raven is called a dirty bird. We know that. And here's the point. When the raven was sent out, he found what he desired, exactly what he wanted. He found a perfect condition for him out there. Because remember, he is a picture of someone that is lost. Think about this. There was all those carcasses, all those animals that had drowned, and now their carcasses are floating up to the top of the water. Think about that. Think about that. And so this raven, he could just fly over to one, put his feet down on them. He could sit there and have a meal, enjoy himself for a little bit, and then he could fill his belly and just be satisfied. That's why he didn't come back to the ark, because he found exactly what he wanted on the outside of the ark. Now, the raven was doing, and you know, this is why we get mixed up in the church sometimes. The raven was doing exactly what the lost do. You know, I've had people ask me, well, why do they live that way? Why do they drink and take drugs? And why do they spend all their money and gamble everything away? And why are they always in trouble? And why are they doing this or that? It's their nature. That's what lost people do. Don't be surprised when you see people living that kind of lifestyle. It's their nature to live that way. They're satisfied with that kind of life. It pleases them. But let me tell you something. What we have here is the raving doing what was his nature. Now listen to this verse right here for a second. In John chapter 3 and 19 in part says, "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I remember one of the first little jobs I had when I was a young man. I had a job working with this man that delivered beer, and he delivered beer to honky-tonks and places like that. My job was to put it on the dollies and roll it in. I'll tell you, I didn't stay on that job but 2 days, I believe. I could not stand the smell of those places, and they were always dark. Sin works in darkness. Lost people love darkness. They don't want their sins to be exposed. They love living that kind of a lifestyle. And the Bible says, "And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Remember these words right here. Romans chapter 1 verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but came vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened." John gave us another verse. He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. So I tell you once again, don't be surprised that lost people love their sins. It's their nature. It's their nature. Now, you see the raven, he could sit down on one of the carcasses out there, fill his little belly to full, and then he could let the waves rock him to sleep, and he could just enjoy his wonderful life out there outside of the ark. Now, what about the dove? Well, the dove, as you know, is a type of the saved. We see in the Bible the dove is a type of the picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And remember, it is only the saved that have the Holy Spirit in them. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is the dove. So the dove now, Noah reaches up and pushes him outside of the ark, and he flies out from the ark. Now let's think about it here. He's been cooped up in this ark for 9 months. I mean, man, 9 months in that smelly place. It must have been good to have freedom. I mean, to flap his wings and fly. That dove must have really enjoyed the first few minutes out there in freedom when Noah released him from the window in the ark. She was unaware of the dangers out there. You know, that happens to Christians sometimes. We get saved, we're in the church, we're doing pretty good for a while, and then we sort of let up a little bit. We forget about the work of the devil. We start closing our eyes to things, and before we know it, we can be in a lot of trouble. So this dove, he may have forgotten, but boy, did he recognize something quickly. He recognized that he was in a place of danger. He recognized there was no place for him to sit down. He couldn't keep flying forever, and so he would have to make his way back to the ark. Now, remember David's words after he sinned? And you know, this was a Christian in a sense. David, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins." He says, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." That's Psalm 51 verses 2 and 3. You know what I want to encourage you to do? Don't fall for the deception that the devil is going to place in front of you, that you're okay, you don't have to go to church, you don't have to read your Bible like the pastor tells you, you don't have to do this and that, you'll be okay, just relax, enjoy yourself for a little bit. Oh, the devil has lots of tricks to keep us from being faithful in the things of God. But you know what we need to do? We need to be true to the spirit of the dove. See, the dove, he couldn't find rest. He couldn't find peace out there. He couldn't find it. And so what did he do? The dove could not find anything outside of the ark, and so he returned back to the ark. Oh, that is so important. Church, why don't we use these two birds to examine ourselves? I know you don't want to do that, but let's just take these two birds and examine ourselves tonight. If you are a raven, you will feel at home in the world. How do you feel out there in the world? I mean, does it bother you out there when you see all the sin and all the chaos, all the wickedness and all the evil? Does it bother you when you go out there and look at what's going on around you? If it doesn't bother you, then you're a raven. You're a raven. You need to examine yourself and see what you are. I pray you're not a raven. I pray that when you let a bad word slip out of your mouth, you're convicted. I pray when you see something you shouldn't see, you get convicted about it. I pray when you lay out of church and could be in church, that you get convicted about it. I pray that when you don't give like you ought to give, you get convicted about it. Do you get convicted when you see those things out there? I hope you do. Well, let's see about the dove now. If you are a dove, you will find no rest in this world. So the dove made her way back to the ark and the outstretched hand of Noah. Noah put his hand out for that dove to be taken back into the ark. Oh, please don't forget, Jesus is your great ark. He is your place of rest. He is your place of security. Not only does he redeem us from sin, but also he secures our salvation in himself. I meet people all the time, they're not sure they're saved. They don't even know if they're going to heaven. You ask them the question, if you die right now, would you go to heaven? Well, I don't know, preacher. I don't know. I joined the church. Joining the church is not going to do it. It's not going to do it. No, sir. Listen to this verse right here. In fact, it's two verses, I could say. Jesus says this to us, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Then verse 29, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So like Noah, with his outstretched arm to receive the dove back into the ark. Our God gives us this invitation. That's the invitation you have tonight. If you've wandered outside and you find yourself in the midst of this old sin-cursed world and you can't find rest, you can't find joy anytime there, why don't you just come back? Because Noah's got his hands stretched out. He's waiting to receive you. Now remember, the name Noah means rest. That's what the name Noah means. It means rest. So God is telling you to come back to the place of rest. And he wants you to come back. It was Jesus who said, listen to these words right here. They're so good. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The reason those things are true is because when you get saved, Jesus is with you. He helps you. He gives you strength when you need it. He gives you peace when you need it. He gives you encouragement when you need it. Sometimes today, I can get low because of the condition that Peggy's in. And sometimes I have to leave the room because I can't take it. I just want to break down and cry. But when I look to God, He gives me the strength. And He says, Mickey, remember all the things that that little woman done for you. Now you do your part now. And so I go back in and try to put a smile on my face and try to do what I can to make her life more comfortable and easier in this day and time. And that's why I say tonight, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, and man, our church has had a lot of heartaches lately. Oh my goodness, we're going to have the funeral this coming Friday morning at 10. My, Brother Knight's got a big load on him, big load. He needs a lot of prayer. Because when you start pastoring a church that's growing, when you start pastoring a lot of people, then the numbers of tragedies and heartaches, they multiply. And you've got to face more every day. That's why you should never let a day go by that you don't pray for him. Pray that God gives him wisdom and knowledge and strength. Because, you know, one individual can only carry so much. And if you get overloaded, you'll break down. And it's God who will cause him to triumph. It is God who will raise him up every day with new excitement and a new challenge. And I want you to pray for him, if you will. Now, I want to give you another verse tonight. Now, this verse has nothing to do in one way with our subject. It has to do with Jacob and Israel. But I want you to notice the spirit of this verse. The spirit of this verse. Listen to the spirit of this verse. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. If you're a Christian tonight and you feel like you've been overcome by this world, you don't know whether you can make it another day. You don't know whether you can hold out. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to hold out. Put yourself in the arms of Jesus and He will hold you up. And whatever comes against you, it will not defeat you, because Jesus will hold you and keep you at rest. At rest. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful word. Return to Jesus, because in Him you will find whatever you need to be victorious in this life. All of us are facing things that we do not know what is coming. All of us are facing tragedy, heartaches. Nobody gets out of this life without those things taking place from time to time. Nobody gets out of this life without tears being shed. Nobody gets out of this life without a heart that gets broken now and then. Nobody does it. You can't get out of this life, because the Bible tells us that we need a Savior who can go through these last days with us and encourage us as we walk through this life. If I had to do this on my own, I'd give up tonight. If I had to hold out myself, I'd give up tonight. But I want to tell you, praise the Lord, I've got a Noah to go to. I've got a place of rest. I've got a place of comfort. And my hope and my faith is resting in the Son of God. And He said, come unto me. Run to Him. Crawl to Him. Cry out for Him. Because He's asking you to come. Because He wants to comfort you. And He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. That's my hope tonight. I see things a lot different today at my age than I did back when I was in my 50s. I see things in a different way. God becomes more personal. God becomes more real to you. God becomes someone that you can't live without. And that's why the dove out there outside the ark found no place to set her feet down. And she flew back to the hands of Noah. And the Bible says he took her into the ark. And then later, he sent her out. And she came back with an olive leaf in her mouth. Noah knew that things were getting better on the outside. But he waited 7 more days. And then he sent her out again. And now the Holy Spirit is going everywhere. The Holy Spirit is working everywhere. It works in America. It works in South America, in Africa, in Europe, in the communist countries. The Holy Spirit is working. That dove is on the move out there. And he's speaking to hearts. And he's saying, you need the Savior. You need Jesus. You need the Lord. So go to him. And Jesus has outstretched hands saying, come unto me. I'm glad I came down an aisle on a Sunday morning in a church just like this. I'm glad I walked down that aisle. And I'm glad that on that day, this old lost boy that was doomed to hell and deserving it, I'm glad that Jesus came in and redeemed my soul, forgave my sin, washed me white as snow. And today, I rest in him. I rest in him. Would you stand with me for just a moment? I'll ask our sister to come. And I know the pastor likes to give a little invitation because you may have something tonight that you want to pray about, something you want to talk to Jesus about. Maybe you don't have the rest that you would like to have. You come tonight, find you a place of prayer, and just take a short few minutes, and then we'll be through. So let our sister begin. You come if you would. Would you step out? Would you be that one? Just find you a place here. Get on your knees. Talk to Jesus. That's what it's all about. Talk to Jesus. Jesus is the one. Come on. Come on. Come on.